Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We are encouraged by the Department of Justice findings today. However, it is unfortunate that it took the murder of Breonna Taylor in protest after protest after protest through 2020 to come to this point.
The U.S. Justice Department accuses the Louisville police of unlawfully discriminating against the city's black population and using excessive force. The DOJ probe began after Louisville police fatally shot Breonna Taylor in her own home during a no-knock raid 3 years ago. Then, apartheid American style, we go to Jackson, Mississippi, where white Republican state lawmakers want to set up an unelected superstructure to oversee the black majority city. We'll speak to Jackson Mayor Chokwe Lumumba, who has accused state lawmakers of colonizing Jackson. Then to Atlanta and the fight to stop Cop City. 23 more protesters have been charged with domestic terrorism.
The reality of it is that the ones who are engaging in violence are the police, and they're from right here in Atlanta, Georgia. You got APD, you got Georgia State Police, you got GBI, you got Georgia State Troopers, you got everybody except the MARTA police who are engaging in violence and terrorism against the people who are standing against this illegal land swap.
All that and more coming up. DemocracyNow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Justice Department has issued a scathing report on the Louisville, Kentucky Police Department documenting a pattern or practice of excessive force, unlawful stops, discrimination, failure to investigate sexual and domestic violence and other charges. The findings follow a two-year probe into the Louisville Metro Police Department that followed the killing of Breonna Taylor, a black Louisville healthcare worker who was shot and killed in her own home during a 2020 no-knock police raid. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced the findings of the 90-page report on Wednesday.
The department has concluded that there is reasonable cause to believe that Louisville Metro and LMPD engaged in a pattern or practice of conduct that violates the First and Fourth Amendments of the Constitution.
Findings are likely to lead to a consent decree that would see a federal monitor assigned to oversee the Louisville Police Department. Meanwhile, the Justice Department said Wednesday it will review specialized police units around the country, including the Memphis Police Department's now disbanded Scorpion unit, after five former Memphis officers were charged with murder and aggravated assault in the beating death of Tyree Nichols, a 29-year-old black father. That announcement came as a Shelby County judge blocked the release of 20 hours of additional video footage and internal documents related to a Memphis City investigation into Nichols' killing. The U.S. Senate voted overwhelmingly Wednesday to block an effort by the District of Columbia to overhaul D.C.'s criminal code. President Biden said he would sign the Senate resolution in a victory for Republicans who led the effort to stop measures such as reducing maximum sentences for carjackings and expanding the right to jury trials for certain misdemeanors. D.C. leaders and activists condemned both parties in Congress and Biden for interfering in their governance. This is D.C. Councilmember Janice Lewis-George speaking at a hand off D.C. rally.
Congressmen, years back and today, have stated a city, a majority black city with black leaders in power, cannot lead themselves. That is facts that they have put out there time and time again. So statehood is not just a human rights issue and a voting rights issue. It is a racial justice issue.
In Mississippi, the NAACP says it'll challenge several GOP-led bills making their way through the legislature, which threaten residents in the majority black capital of Jackson by handing state police more power and granting the state control over Jackson's troubled water system. We'll go to Jackson, Mississippi later in the broadcast to speak with Mayor Chokwe Antar-Lumumba and author and activist Makani Temba. In Ukraine, the International Atomic Energy Agency says the Russian-occupied Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant has once again lost its connection to external power, is relying on diesel generators as a last line of defense against a nuclear meltdown. The plant's operator said it was the sixth time since Russia's invasion the plant has had to turn to emergency backups to maintain critical cooling systems for its six reactors. The nuclear plant's outage came as Russia fired a barrage of missiles across 10 regions of Ukraine, killing at least 9 civilians and knocking out electricity supplies. On Wednesday, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres visited Kyiv for talks with President Volodymyr Zelensky. Both leaders said it was critically necessary to global food security that Russia extend an agreement allowing Ukraine to export grain from its Black Sea ports. The Pentagon's blocking the Biden administration from sharing evidence about Russian atrocities in Ukraine with the International Criminal Court in The Hague. That's according to The New York Times, citing current and former U.S. officials who say Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin objected over concerns that sharing evidence would set a precedent, making it more likely the ICC would prosecute U.S. military personnel. The 1998 Rome Statute that established the International Criminal Court has been ratified by 123 nations, but not the United States, Russia, or Ukraine. A Saudi engineer who was locked up at Guantanamo Bay prison for 21 years without charge has been released and repatriated. 48-year-old Ghassan Al-Sharbi was detained in Pakistan following the 9/11 attacks, where he says he was tortured before being sent to Guantanamo. 31 people remain locked up at the U.S. military prison. 17 have been cleared for transfer if a host country can be identified. In the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces killed 3 Palestinians in another raid in Jenin, less than 48 hours after a previous raid in the city killed 6 Palestinians. Meanwhile, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin arrived in Tel Aviv today after delaying his visit by one day amidst a heightened spate of violence against Palestinians and ongoing mass protests against the Israeli government's plan to gut the judiciary. Austin is expected to also discuss Iran during his visit to Israel. The Republic of Georgia has withdrawn a controversial bill that critics say violated press freedom and civil society after protests rocked the capital, Tbilisi. The proposed law would have required non-governmental organizations and independent media outlets that receive over 20% of their funding from international sources to declare themselves agents of foreign influence. The European Union, which Georgia is hoping to join, welcomed the news. The U.S. Federal Reserve has signaled it will hike interest rates higher and faster than expected in order to slow down inflation after recent data showed a stronger economy than forecast. Last year, the Fed raised interest rates at the fastest pace since the 80s. During a Senate hearing Tuesday, Democrat Elizabeth Warren blasted Fed Chair Jerome Powell for, quote, gambling with people's lives by imposing rate hikes that would increase unemployment from 3.4 to 4.6% by the end of the year, according to the Fed's own projections.
Do you know how many people who are currently working, going about their lives, will lose their jobs?
I don't have that number in front of me. I will say it's not an intended consequence.
But it is, and it's in your report, and that would be about 2 million people who would lose their jobs. People who are working right now, making their mortgages.
The White House has criticized Fox News anchor Tucker Carlson for portraying the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol as a mostly peaceful affair. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre spoke to reporters at the White House Wednesday.
We agree with Fox Nation's own attorneys and executives who have repeatedly stressed in multiple courts of law that Tucker Carlson is not credible when it comes to this issue.
Carlson made the claims after his program was granted exclusive access to more than 40,000 hours of Capitol surveillance footage by the Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Meanwhile, new documents from the $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit filed against Fox News by Dominion Voting Systems revealed Tucker Carlson texted a coworker 2 days before the Capitol insurrection, writing of Trump, quote, "I hate him passionately. I can't handle much more of this." Carlson continued about Trump, quote, "What he's good at is destroying things. He's the undisputed world champion of that. He could easily destroy us if we play it wrong," Tucker Carlson said about Donald Trump. And longtime civil rights activist and South Carolina community organizer Kevin Alexander Gray died Wednesday after suffering a heart attack. He was 65 years old. In the 1980s, Gray served as South Carolina campaign manager for Jesse Jackson's presidential campaign and helped lead protests against South Africa's apartheid government. He was a past president of the South Carolina ACLU and fought for years to get the Confederate battle flag removed from South Carolina's state capitol grounds. The flag was ultimately moved to a museum in 2015 following the massacre of 9 black worshipers by a racist gunman at Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston. Kevin Gray spoke to Democracy Now! After the murders.
When you talk about white supremacy as a structure, you have to talk about white supremacy as the structure that permeates America, that the foundation of our politics in this country is white supremacy. White supremacy is not merely the Ku Klux Klan and race hate groups. White supremacy is a structure which keeps people down based on race, that keeps people in power. Racism is about power.
To see our many interviews with Kevin Alexander Gray over the years, visit our website, democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Louisville, Kentucky. On Wednesday, the U.S. Justice Department released a scathing report accusing the Louisville police of unlawfully discriminating against the city's black population, as well as people with behavioral health disabilities. Attorney General Merrick Garland laid out the DOJ's findings Wednesday.
The report finds that LMPD uses excessive force, including unjustified neck restraints and the unreasonable use of police dogs and tasers, conducts searches based on invalid warrants, unlawfully executes warrants without knocking and announcing, unlawfully stops, searches, detains, and arrests people, unlawfully discriminates against black people in enforcement activities, violates the rights of people engaged in protected speech, critical of policing, and, along with Louisville Metro, discriminates against people with behavioral health disabilities when responding to them in crisis. The Justice Department has also identified deficiencies in LMPD's response to and investigation of domestic violence and sexual assault. LMPD has relied heavily on pretextual traffic stops in black neighborhoods. In these stops, officers use the pretense of making a stop for a minor traffic offense in order to investigate for other crimes. Some officers have demonstrated disrespect for the people they are sworn to protect. Some have videotaped themselves throwing drinks at pedestrians from their cars, insulted people with disabilities, and called black people monkeys, animal, and boy.
Kristen Clark, the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights at the Justice Department, detailed more of the DOJ's findings about the Louisville Police Department.
Officers also routinely conduct stops, searches, and arrests without the required constitutional justification. These tools are essential to enhance public safety, but when used without restraint, they turn into weapons of oppression, submission, and fear. We found that LMPD officers use excessive and dangerous tactics such as neck restraints, canines, and tasers, even against people who pose no imminent threat to the officer or others. We also found that officers misdirect their resources and violate fundamental principles of equal justice by selectively targeting and disproportionately subjecting Black residents to unlawful policing.
The Justice Department began investigating the Louisville Police Department after the police killing of Breonna Taylor, who was shot dead in her own home during a no-knock raid in March of 2020, March 13th. On Wednesday, Breonna's mother, Tamika Palmer, spoke to reporters about the DOJ's findings.
It's heartbreaking to know that everything you've been saying from day one has to be said again. Through this manner, you know, it took this to even have somebody look into this department.
General Berlin specifically talked about the warrant in Breonna's apartment. When you heard that today, what went through your mind? Because he essentially said that they shouldn't have been.
Heartbreak all over again, because I knew that to begin with. I said that from the very beginning. We've asked that question 100 times over and over for no one to ever give you a direct answer.
Lenita Baker, an attorney for Breonna Taylor's family, also spoke at the news conference.
We are encouraged by the Department of Justice findings today. However, it is unfortunate that it took the murder of Breonna Taylor in protest after protest after protest through 2020 to come to this point. As you saw, this is a patterns and practice investigation, and the findings relate to patterns and practice. It is not one particular case.
We're joined now by Sadiqua Reynolds, the former president and CEO of the Louisville Urban League. We welcome you back to Democracy Now!, Sadiqua. So talk about the significance of this Justice Department two-year investigation, this whole issue of finding pattern and practice. I know this is not a surprise to you.
No, thank you so much for having me again. It is not a surprise to me or anyone who's been paying attention in Louisville, Kentucky. And I think Breonna Taylor's mother said it best. It's sad that this had to be on the back of her daughter. It's sad because we have been complaining about things with our police department. And this report, quite frankly, is scathing. Excessive force, searches based on invalid warrants. And again, I want to focus on the fact that this is patterns and practice. This is not one-offs. This is the way they do business. Unlawfully executing search warrants, unlawfully stopping, searching, detaining, unlawfully discriminating against Black people specifically. I think that is a really scathing indictment on this police department. Their conduct is illegal, and Black people are disproportionately experiencing the illegal activity in Louisville. This report is, and even where it talks about behavioral health and what is happening in with people, you know, who have behavioral health issues in our community. Again, something we've been talking about, something we've been asking for support on. There are a lot of reasons for Louisvillians to be very concerned today. For those who did not believe the protesters, for those who didn't think people should have been in the streets, I mean, when you hear that, in fact, police are engaging in illegal activity related to people who are using protected speech because they're critical of policing, you should be concerned. And so I think that I hope this report will generate the conversations that have to happen in my city in order to really change the way policing happens in every community. I hope that Louisville can step up and really be, some sort of example of how you can make change. Because right now we're doing a horrible job of policing.
So if you can talk about what's going to come of this, the whole discussion of an independent monitor and a consent decree with the Louisville Police Department, what does that mean?
So they will have an independent organization come in that will monitor the work of the police department. They will obviously complete a corrective action plan, and then that organization will work to make sure that LMPD is doing what they've said they're supposed to do. So I think for community, there was a conversation last night with DOJ. The next steps will be for us to learn about what organization has been chosen, what are the steps. Obviously, there are about 36 steps that DOJ DOJ has recommended, but there could be more. We've got to think about the timeline. So there are a lot of things that need to happen. But I also think the thing that no one really talks about is an acknowledgement. This is somewhat vindication, quite frankly, for a lot of people in Louisville who have been quite frankly, traumatized by what we have experienced over the last couple of years. What makes me hopeful is I know through my work with Perception Institute that a mind that can be, these police officers have been trained in this way. It's poorly trained, poor training. It's not following policy and procedures where they do have it. There's been no accountability. So we do have to go back and look at officers who have violated the law to see how they have been handled. I don't think the community just wants to push that under the rug. I think we need to see for those officers who did. There's some officers we know what happened, right? If they were throwing drinks at people who were experiencing mental health issues on the street, those officers have been arrested. But there are other things that are outlined in this report. We don't know what happened with those officers. We don't know what happened with the officer that called Black people animals. We don't know what happened with the officer or the supervisor who made jokes when he got to the scene and the officer told him that he had beat the woman in the face with a flashlight. We don't know if there was ever any discipline. We have to know about those things. We have to understand who we are moving forward with in our police department.
So let's go back to the case of Breonna Taylor, which sparked all of this. As her mother said, okay, so now we know what she knew and what so many people, especially African Americans in Louisville, knew 3 years ago about the pattern and practice. But no officer has been charged in the murder of Breonna Taylor. Is that investigation ongoing? Even one of the officers who was charged was not charged for shooting her, but for his bullets ending up in the apartment of a white couple next door.
And let me say something else about that case. Not only are they not charged with her murder, the officer who was shot, Officer Mattingly, who went in, is actually suing Kenny, the boyfriend, for shooting him. So they went in unannounced. We see all of this information about the poor way that they handled, the illegal way that they handled no-knock warrants, right? So we know exactly what happened in Breonna Taylor's case. So not only are they not charged with killing her, they have an officer who has the audacity to sue the person who had every right to defend himself. It is incredible. This police department, the way that they operate, their procedures, their practices, the pattern here, it is atrocious. So all of these past investigations really do need to be reopened. And but for the Department of Justice, we would have absolutely no hint of justice in this community. Not the Commonwealth Attorney, not the Attorney General. No one has offered us any sense of justice. But for Merrick Garland and his office, all of this would still be covered up. All of it.
You're talking about Kenneth Walker, who actually the city of Louisville settled with him something like $2 million. But he is being sued. I mean, the police, just for people to understand, what was it, about 1 o'clock in the morning that they barged in? He was terrified, said he did not know they were even police.
That's right. In fact, and he even called 911 to say, can you send the police? And they have a recording of that. We knew something was wrong with Kenneth Walker's case when he was released from custody after a shot shooting a police officer. We knew that there was more information. And that's really what pushed people into the streets in Louisville. But the other thing that is interesting to me about Kenneth Walker's case, you also see when you watch the video that they said didn't exist, that we know now, of course, did. When he comes down the steps and he comes out of the apartment, they have the dogs and they threaten to turn the dogs on him. So now that I read this report and I see how often people are being bit by canines, this Breonna Taylor case is an example of almost everything that was wrong and continues to be wrong with our police department. And let me say, I am not suggesting that they have not attempted to make some changes. We have an interim police chief. We're going to, you know, see what happens. But at the end of the day, we have got to have complete honesty, complete disclosure, and we absolutely need investigations into some of these things that have been identified. We want to know who the officers were. what happened, who the supervisors were that didn't do their jobs. We need to be rid of them. We actually need to go into the weeds on this. It's way too important.
And finally, it's not only Louisville, the Department of Justice, and of course, Merrick Garland's attorney general, but the assistant attorney general, Kirsten Clark, is in charge of all of this. We played a clip of her earlier, longtime civil rights attorney, but said, for example, they're going to be investigating the Memphis Police Department.
Yeah, this is about systems and systemic change. This is what I said yesterday. We know that there are some good officers in this country, no doubt. There are people who are signing up to really serve and protect, and they believe in that. The problem is that the system is corrupt. And sometimes people want to say the system is broken. I think the system works just as it was designed to work. It was designed to discriminate against Black people, poor people. So what we have are systems that absolutely need to be disrupted. If your mind can be trained to be biased, if your mind can be trained to do these things, then we can untrain the mind. We can do this different. But these officers and the people who control them have to be willing to engage. We have to, because at its core, this is really dehumanization. That is the problem across the country. These officers get this power and they don't see my humanity because of my Black skin. That has to stop. We have to do something different. So this is more than just training on policy and procedure. This is about how you train your mind, how you see people, how you react to your own biases. So we've got to do something different in America. And certainly in Louisville, we will be doing something different. But it's going to be a long, hard road. And I'll say this, too. We have a lot of people in the business community. And I'm sure this doesn't just happen in Louisville. They are so critical of protesters because it disrupts business. It's not good for tourism. Let me tell you what's not good for people's lives: to be terrorized in their own homes, to not be able to rest, to not be able to sleep. When you read this report and understand how bad this police department has been, people should actually be thanking protesters for raising their voices and maybe saving their children.
Sadiqua Reynolds, we want to thank you for being with us, attorney, community activist, former president and CEO of Louisville Urban League. Next up, apartheid American style. We go to Jackson, Mississippi, where white Republican state lawmakers want to set up an unelected superstructure to oversee the Black majority city. We'll speak with Jackson Mayor Chokwe Antar Lumumba. Stay with us. By the legendary saxophonist and composer Wayne Shorter, who died last week at the age of 89. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we go deeper into the southern United States, as we turn to Mississippi, where white Republican state lawmakers are attempting to essentially create an unelected superstructure to oversee the Black majority capital city of Jackson. This week, the state's majority white Republican-led state Senate passed its version of a bill by the majority white and passed last month by the majority white and Republican-led House that would allow Mississippi's Supreme Court Chief Justice, who is white, to handpick local judges in Jackson. Prosecutors and public defenders would be selected by the state attorney general, who also is white. Jackson has the highest percentage of black residents of any major city in the United States. Supporters of House Bill 1020 claim it would make Jackson safer. Democratic Mississippi Senator John Horn disputed this ahead of Tuesday's vote on the revised bill.
It is vastly improved from where it started, but it is still a snake, and it needs to be defeated. Senator Carter made the point that crime is on the rise in Jackson, and he's correct. But to Senator Barrett's point, there is absolutely no empirical data, no evidence that adding these temporary appointed judges will do anything to stem the rise in crime in Jackson. There's no data.
Both versions of House Bill 1020 would expand the role of the Capitol Police, which has